Good morning and welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Eric Bennett, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. I'd like to thank you so much for tuning in and listening this morning. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. Scripture reads, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This morning, let us continue our Thanksgiving. If you're like me, you turned on your TV this past weekend, you watched parades, you got on social media, and you was flooded with people giving thanks, giving for all the blessings that they have. What a refreshing change that was from the normal posts and things that we normally see on social media. So why not continue this sentiment of Thanksgiving as our lives continue on? What better way to do that than by giving thanks to the one who makes everything possible? 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34 shows us just that. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 34. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Seems like we only approach God with thankfulness when things are going great. Or maybe we'll pray to God when things are going bad. But so very often things are just going normal and we forget all about him, right? We lose all thoughts of God and what he's done for us. We can show God our thankfulness by obeying what he commands us to do in his word, knowing that in obeying God, it's ultimately for our own good, not for his. Before we look at this next scripture, I hate that we have to even preface it, but a lot of times people get upset if you talk about what God commands, and it's in his word, right? He commands the order of our family for our benefit. So when we see a child that's being respectful to their parents, it's easy for us to see that mutual love and respect that's been fostered there. While at the same time, when we see a child who's disobedient or disrespectful to their parents, we see maybe an interruption of love or respect that's been lost there. Also, just as we know that God loves us, we show respect unto him, and the Bible shows this in the husband and wife relationship as well. So then we see the idea of servants, which today is akin maybe to us as employees, that we should respect our bosses and our leadership. This mutual respect and thankfulness comes from God, and it starts with our respect and love in obeying God. With all that being said, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, this will be one of our longest passages if you want to turn with us. We'll start in verse 15. Colossians 3, starting in verse 15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Verse 22 reads, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." So this passage clearly shows that by obeying God, we'll be handsomely rewarded with the greatest of inheritance. That's an eternal home in heaven. Then we have to obey God throughout his word, right? And in believing his son, we have to obey him and believe in his son. In Acts chapter 16, we'll look at this passage a couple times. But turn with me to Acts 16, verses 30 and 31. Acts 16:30 reads, "And he brought them out, and he said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Then we have to continue to obey God through confessing that belief to the world. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 shows us just that. Romans 10, 9 and 10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation." Then we have to obey our Lord through repentance, right? We have to turn away from those sins and try not to do them anymore. Luke 13 and verse 3 says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then coming back to Acts chapter 16, looking at verse 31, we have to obey through baptism. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Verse 32 reads, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them to the house, he set meat before them, and he rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Then we have to obey through living a faithful life to God. Revelation 2 and verse 10 talks about this. Revelation 2 and verse 10, it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And you shall have tribulation 10 days. Listen to this, though. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And after we've obeyed God in our initial acts of obedience, we have to continue to show our thankfulness through worshiping him. Right? What better way to show that we're thankful for all the things he's done for us? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's God's perfect design when we worship him that it isn't for his benefit, but rather it's for our benefit and with those that we worship with together. So think about your church family, what they've done for you when you've needed them, and hopefully what you've done for them. And this not only goes for your local church where you normally attend, but for God's universal church of Christians worldwide who are willing and able to help. They're willing to pray or whatever they may be when that time arises. Us worshiping God is not something extraordinary that we're doing, not something we should pat ourselves on the back for. Look in verse 1 again there in Romans 12. It's our reasonable service. It's what we should be doing. Think of it this way. Would we expect to get paid if we never went into work? It'd be nice, but no, we wouldn't expect it, right? Would we expect friendships to continue to blossom if we never talked or did anything with or for those friends? Why do we expect our relationship with God to grow if we don't pray, if we don't read his word, if we don't worship with him and other saints in the church? Hebrews 10 has this thought completely nailed. Verses 24 through 26. Hebrews 10, 24 through 26. And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our sins. And then if we don't join in communion together, remembering that sacrifice for Jesus, then we're not obeying what he commands, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this will be our last long, lengthy passage, but turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 23 through 30. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup, and he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So when we've done all these things and we've shown our thankfulness to all those about us, and most importantly to God, they should be able to see that joy that comes from being a child of God, that we should want to share that with others, to everybody that we come into contact with. Colossians 1, verses 11 through 14 talks about this point. Colossians 1, 11 through 14. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I'm sure if you're like me, you've been very thankful for your time with your family here, especially this past weekend, for your time of eating some wonderful food, and like me again, probably too much, for the comfort of your home. And just as a quick reminder, if you're like me, power went out while I was preparing this lesson. We went without electricity for a while, right? And all the comforts that it affords. Aren't we thankful for that? Let us not let that feeling wane. But rather, let us build on it through the rest of this year and then into the new year. Right? Let's build upon that thankfulness and let us spread God's joy for our entire time here on earth. And as our time together this morning is winding down, let us look at just a few great reminders from God's Word of why we should be joyful, why we should be happy. Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Even when times get rough, we can still have joy. James chapter 1 talks about that. James 1, starting in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And then let us stay focused on our purpose here is and rejoice in that purpose. We can see this idea in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 7. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Let us have joy that Jesus did all that he could possibly do for us. And then we have that chance with a home in him, in heaven with him. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. This will be our last passage that we look at this morning. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." This morning, you're invited to the services at the Pine Top Church of Christ. That's at 1101 Pine Top Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Winter community of Russell County. You can either get there a little bit quicker now with the Parkway and the Eli exit. If you have any questions or would like to study more, please contact us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com. That's pinetopchurchofchrist, all one word, @gmail.com. And if you're looking for a church to attend, please consider what we talked about this morning. Join us for worship. This morning we'll be worshiping at 9:45 for morning worship, then again evening worship at 4:30. Next week's radio program, hopefully it won't be a rodeo program, radio program will be from Brother Roland McFarland. Until next Sunday at 7:15, have a blessed week.